case for argument is 21-2274, Trusted Knight Corporation v. IBM. Okay, counsel, tell me how to say your last name.
It's actually very easy, Your Honor. It's Phlox, like flocks of sheep, and then Bart. Phlox
okay,
Bart.
Mr. Phlox-Bart, please proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is William Phlox-Bart. I'm here on behalf of Trusted Knight Corporation today. I was thinking a lot about this case as I flew here, and I was thinking about this question. Why do we have the obviousness doctrine? Why is it there? Because that's pretty much the key issue that's at play here. And I'm obviously going to get into detail with respect to the references and the facts of this case. But from our point of view, Your Honor, we have the obviousness doctrine to prevent the issuance of patents, which would inevitably and soon others in the art would have come up with the same idea. Here, that's simply not the case. And certainly the board did not identify any substantial evidence in their rulings that it otherwise. For my argument today, I want to focus on the lack of substantial evidence to combine Watterson and Ross. There's a lot of issues in our briefing, but I think that's the key issue that I'd like to talk about, and then maybe finish up if we have time on the claim construction. In order to understand why there isn't evidence here to combine these, not substantial evidence, I think it's worth at least mentioning again, although we covered this extensively in our briefs, the three kinds of attacks on security that we're talking about in these different references. There's one that we call keystroke keylogging, there's one that we call phishing, and there's the form grabbing. Form grabbing is the focus of the patent in this case, and neither Ross nor Watterson, which deal with the other two kinds of attacks, address form grabbing in any way in their disclosures. Watterson is a patent that is directed to keystroke keylogging defense. It specifically operates at a very low level in the computer before the web browser and everything else get involved, and it messes with the keys. It moves the things around, but it essentially deals with passing protected information between applications which are resident in the computer itself.
But as you say, the issue is obviousness, not anticipation.
That's correct, Your Honor.
The fact that the references aren't exactly the same is not the point.
That's right, but it is important, Your Honor, that the references don't combine well. The Watterson and the Ross reference don't play well together. Ross, if combined with Watterson in the way that IBM suggests it combines, renders Watterson not operative for what it actually is doing in the first place. The way that they're proposing we would use it would be that we take Ross, and on the trigger event of the form submission event, we activate Watterson, and now we take those benefits and try to use them. But at that point, they're no longer working to prevent keylogging, because it's waiting that time in order to do that, it fundamentally defeats the purpose of Watterson, in which case we just can't combine those two references. Because if you defeat the initial purpose of a thing by combining it with something else, then we're not permitted to combine. And I think that's critical with respect to these two references, in addition to which, nobody's going to be looking to combine these references for this particular problem. Our position, Trusted Knight's position, has always been that form grabbing defense is not a motivation to combine these two references. And IBM conceded that in their reply brief below. The logic that the board then adopted was that the board said a person of ordinary skill would have been motivated to combine Watterson's anti-keylogging software with Ross's form submission event to provide an additional level of protection against form-grabbing keylogging software that Watterson alone does not provide. But both of the parties in this case had either specifically argued against that position or had abrogated it in their later briefing. In other words, the parties, I always like to say, the parties decide the battleground of their litigation. And in this case, the parties fundamentally agreed that form-grabbing was not a reason to motivate to combine these references, but the board found so anyway, which is impermissible.
Is that your argument that the motivation to combine theory that the board credited was actually waived by IBM?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Can you show me where they waived it? Where is that in our record?
In Appendix 626, that's where IBM says that defeating form grabbers is not the motivation for combining Watterson and Ross, specifically that exact sentence.
And what about their expert? Did he not opine on that point?
I mean, their expert spent, frankly, more time basically saying that Trusted Knight's expert was not reliable in attacking Trusted Knight, but in terms of an actual express motivation to combine, I see nothing in their expert's declaration or in the citations to their expert that actually gives an actual teaching for a form-grabbing reason to combine. And I think, frankly, criticism of your opposing expert without more, even from an expert, isn't sufficient evidence to carry the day here. Have I answered Your Honor's question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So turning back to the three types of attacks that we've talked about, Watterson operates, again, at the very fundamental small level in the computer. It passes secure information from application to application, discloses absolutely nothing about transmitting to a secure location over the internet or over a network. Similarly, ROS is an anti-phishing defense. Phishing is a very specific kind of problem. Phishing occurs when you get a fake request for your password. You don't realize it's fake. You type in your password. They then take that password and use it elsewhere. ROS's solution to this is when I'm actually submitting a password to a real event, I engage a scrambling mechanism that actually predictably changes the password. So to the user thinks the user is typing in their same original password, but as it gets passed to the actual recipient, so in this case a bank or whatever secure location, the password has been changed and is now different. And that is done the same way every time. The user never knows this is happening, never sees it happen, and so when the user's phished, the user gives what the user thinks is the password. But because the scrambling mechanism of ROS is not engaged, the wrong password gets sent to the phisher, and they cannot use that to use for the user's credentials in a secure location. Neither of these deals with form grabbing. Because of the way that form grabbing works, is form grabbing grabs the actual information out of the form as it is submitted to the secure location. So neither Watterson nor ROS address form grabbing, and in combination with ROS, Watterson is rendered inoperable. I'll turn to maintaining, Your Honors. We addressed this briefly, and I'm not sure we need to spend a lot of time on it today, but the 473 patent describes a system that negotiates a preferred priority location in the API stack automatically. What that means is there's a software that says, I want to be the highest priority piece of software. And anytime it sees that it's fallen out of that stack, it automatically moves itself to the top. That's what's described in the patent. And in the 473, and it says it operates by software, it operates at any time, and it operates as a renegotiation. Each of those words indicates that this is done automatically by software without user intervention. Because no user intervention is described or required, the only reference, even in combination, that can be used with respect to this particular claim element is Watterson. But Watterson specifically requires user intervention in that Watterson notices that it's fallen out of priority and then asks the user to intervene to restore its priority by rebooting its machine. This is fundamentally different. And any claim construction of maintaining the capture.
What do you see in your patent that would disclaim embodiments in which there is some user intervention?
The fact that we specifically require it to be done by software is what I would say, Your Honor. Is the requirement
that limits the claims to doing it by software? That's not in the claims, is it?
If we construe the word maintaining to require it to be done by software, in other words, without user intervention.
If we did, but
right.
I guess I'm looking for, we wouldn't typically narrow the term maintaining to eliminate the possibility that there may be some user intervention. And I understand what you've pointed to in the patent that you think supports, I suppose in some affirmative sense, your narrower construction, but I don't think we normally would narrow a construction just based on the limited type of things you pointed to. There's no disclaimer, there's no words of exclusion, or if there are, please point them out.
I can't point to any words of exclusion, particularly, Your Honor, other than that it's specifically described as being a renegotiation. It's done by software, it's done automatically. Those things don't require user intervention. There's certainly, I agree with Your Honor, there's nothing in this specifically in the language of the claims other than maintaining, as we contend it would be properly construed, which would limit us to excluding users. And I see I'm just about out of time. Have I answered Your Honor's question?
You have, yes.
Thank you.
Mr. McKee, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Your Honors, appellant here argues that IBM did not and cannot meet the substantial evidence standard of review. The appellant claims that IBM's invalidity theories are supported by merely attorney argument, that they're ipsa dixit, and that IBM's experts' conclusions are irrational and illogical. None are true. There's ample evidence in the record supporting each and every conclusion the board reached. Before I get into the specific arguments that counsel just raised, which I'll do in a moment, I want to address first the broader point that IBM's arguments lack evidentiary support. This mischaracterizes the record and essentially asks this court to disregard all of IBM's record evidence in reply below. The fact of the matter is that for every single argument Trusted Knight now raises, IBM addressed the underlying facts with expert testimony, and that expert testimony was both considered and credited by the board. There's not a single instance here where the board relied on pure attorney argument or misunderstood what either IBM or Trusted Knight argued. The board fully understood the arguments. It simply rejected Trusted Knight's. So I'll start with the waiver point or repudiation point, since counsel raised that in his argument. This argument essentially says that IBM changed their theory between the petition and the reply. But respectfully, that's not what happened. IBM didn't abrogate its motivation to combine theory. To see this, all you have to do is take a look at the paragraph in reply where the allegedly offending sentence comes from, and that's Appendix 625. And it's clear that IBM was responding to an argument raised by Trusted Knight. That paragraph begins, Trusted Knight then argues that because neither reference is specifically directed at defeating form-grabbing malware, that a person of skill would not have been motivated to combine them. So what IBM was doing was responding to the argument that the prior art cannot render obvious or would never be combined unless it refers to exactly the same problem that the patent is allegedly directed to. There was no change in theory. All along, it has been IBM's argument and position supported by its expert that the motivation to combine here is to address additional security holes. It's a principle in computer science called complete mediation that IBM referred to throughout the record.
Okay, but that paragraph does conclude on the next page by saying defeating form grabbers is not the motivation for combining Watterson and Ross. IBM said that.
I agree, Your Honor, and I think perhaps there's some ambiguity there. The sentence there was intended to refer to that same argument, that the motivation to combine is not specifically form grabbers because neither reference talks about form grabbers. The motivation to combine here is this principle of complete mediation, which is also referred to earlier, just the sentence earlier in the paragraph, the resulting combined system would provide protection against various kinds of keyloggers, including both hook-based and form-grabbing keyloggers. So perhaps the word specifically could have been included there in that final sentence, but IBM was not changing its position. And you can also look at IBM's expert testimony and support here in the appendix, and you'll see that IBM's position all along has been complete mediation, defeating additional security holes. The reason that you make that combination here is because Watterson is about, as counsel indicated, defeating keyloggers that operate at the kernel level, and it protects the keystrokes all the way up to the local application. And then Ross comes in after that, and Ross says, well, there's another place where keystrokes can be stolen. It can be stolen by phishing attacks or other attacks as well, and that's within web browser forms. And that's why it proposes this additional trap, this before navigate form submission event trap, to protect that aspect of the software as well.
Counsel, I guess I'm confused about one thing. Opposing counsel said that neither Watterson nor Ross are directed to form grabbers, that kind of malware. I get that concept. Certainly the word form grabbers that doesn't appear in either of those references, but I thought that Ross references before navigate?
Ross expressly references before navigate.
And isn't, if I understand before Navigate, right? According to the board, that is basically, I mean, a form-grabbing, keylogging malware thing. I mean, so when you said Rust is not directed to form-grabbing malware, I'm a little confused because I think the board made an express finding that Rust, in fact, talks about before Navigate, which is some sort of form-related thing. I'm sorry.
And I apologize if there's any confusion here.
I was about as inartful as I could have said that. But.
Well, and I was probably inartful in my argument as well. So the Ross reference, right, is about defeating, it talks about phishing primarily, but it also does talk about keyloggers. And specifically, the way it defeats attacks is it uses the before Navigate trap to make sure that nothing is kind of hooking into the form and stealing the keystrokes from there. That's what form grabbers do. That's what the 473 patent says that form grabbers
do.
And
then why would you say that ROS isn't directed at all to form grabbers if it is specifically targeting this, you know, before Navigate to?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a moving target here, and it's because the reason I said that is because it doesn't use the word form grabbing, right? But it does talk about, because the appellant here has interpreted form grabbing keyloggers, which are a class of keyloggers, as being a unique problem, right? And they say that the 473 patent is the very first instance where anyone came up with a solution to the form grabbing keylogger problem. What we've presented evidence to show is that Ross, it may not talk about form grabbing keyloggers. It may not mention them specifically, but it provides a solution that defeats them. It recognizes the security risk, which is the forms where keystrokes can be stolen by phishing attacks or keyloggers or what have you. And it provides a solution to that security risk, which is this before Navigate trap, which is also the same way that the 473 patent's claims are written. Does that answer the question?
Yes.
Thank you. It's also worth pointing out that the board also rejected the argument that the patent here is directed specifically to form grabbing. It's not. It's directed more generally to preventing keylogging malware. I can point your honors to column 9 of the patent, the 473 patent, where it says the invention protects against at least the following threats. And then it lists, I could count them, but I think it's 9 different things,
yes,
and one of them is form grabbers.
But we look at claims, right?
Correct.
So why does the board say, oh, we're worried about all kinds, the specifications are worried about all kinds of threats, but we've got to focus on what the particular claims were each directed to?
The question of what the patent is directed to and what the claims are directed to is relevant to the motivation to combine analysis here, because the appellant says that the only thing you would ever look at is whether there's form grabbers. Do these references talk about form grabbers? If not, then they can't render the patent obvious. And the patent here the claims.
Try to think like a patent lawyer and be a little more precise. You can't render a patent obvious. We don't care what a patent is directed to. We care what the claims are directed to. So claim 1 is directed to form submission, detecting anti-logger, keylogger, a browser with form submission. So why would these two references, Watterson and Ross, be combined in order to render this obvious? Why, if this were the invention, claim 1, because actually that is the claimed invention, why would Ross and Watterson be combined for that purpose?
Absolutely, Your Honor. So I can point you to the last limitation of the claims, right? The last limitation of the claim says that you do all of these steps to protect against the threat of keylogging malware capturing the confidential data. So both Watterson and Ross are directed at defeating keyloggers of different kinds. Watterson is directed to keyloggers that are installed at that kernel level, all the way up to the local application, stealing keys along the way. And then Ross is directed at different keyloggers that can steal that information in the forms in the application. And they propose different mechanisms for solving those problems. A person of skill looking at both references would be motivated to plug both of those security risks simultaneously. So it's the idea is that the patent is about, and you see this in the claims as well, it's about keylogging more generally. And it just provides an additional piece, this before Navigate trap that's also in ROS, for providing that protection to browser forms the same way ROS does. If there's no more questions on that, Your Honor, I'm going to move to the maintaining argument. So appellant, you heard appellant argue that the board got it wrong on maintaining, that maintaining should require automatic behavior, that it can't require intervening user action. Now, tellingly here, appellant has never proposed a construction for the term, either here or below. They've simply said that it must be limited to automatically maintaining. And you know, you see this in IBM's brief at 56. IBM, on the other hand, has said that the term should have its plain meaning. And you know, we know the rules for plain meaning. You only deviate from plain meaning in certain circumstances. There's disclaimer, there's disavowal, there's prosecution history estoppel, et cetera. None of these are present here, and they're not even argued in the briefs. In support of its argument, appellant points to one sentence, a single sentence in a portion of the specification that talks about renegotiating, and you heard him say that that's support for the automatic construction. But that sentence in the specification doesn't use the word automatic and doesn't talk about anything being automatic. It doesn't talk about maintaining, doesn't use the word. That word, maintaining, is used elsewhere in the patent. To describe figure 6, it talks about maintaining position in the API stack. It also does not describe doing it automatically. This is exactly what you don't do in a claim construction analysis. There's nothing in this patent supporting a limiting construction. And the portion of the specification that Trusted Knight has pointed to doesn't support it. Below, during the proceedings below, the maintaining construction didn't even come to a head until the hearing. The parties had not argued that the term required construction. And then during the hearing, it came up. But before that, the party's experts had submitted conflicting testimony about whether the prior art read on the maintaining term. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about a subsidiary factual finding here. Because what actually happened here was that the board was evaluating whether the prior art rendered maintaining obvious. The board looked at the disclosures of Watterson and the testimony of IBM's expert. That's at Appendix 41, the final written decision, and the cited testimony is at 2137 and 2138. The fact of the matter is here that there's nothing whatsoever in the patent indicating that maintaining must be automatic. You heard counsel say that it's because it's software, but Watterson is software as well, and Watterson does it without it being automatic. It has this intervening rebooting step. You also heard him say that it renegotiates automatically, that that's what this portion at column 5, lines 36 to 40 says. But it doesn't say that. The word automatic is nowhere to be found there, and neither is any concept like automatic. Maintaining can mean different things. The plain meaning of maintaining does not require that it be done automatically. And the Watterson system, which simply says you've been keeping an eye on where in the API stack your software is, and look, you've been moved out of the top position. Why don't you restart to put yourself back there? Then you'll be the most secure. Is a fine solution to the problem and one that renders the claims obvious. The claims do not require more.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. McKee. Mr. Blocksbart, please proceed. You have some of all time.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll just touch on a couple of points. One thing I will say is, in terms of the claim construction motivation to limit, in addition to what we've already identified, and I won't waste time going over that again, there's also obviously the claim construction tenet that we do construe the claims to try to preserve their validity. I give that to Your Honors for what it's worth. Your Honors asked, Chief Judge Moore asked an interesting question about form submission and the before navigate event. I'd like to talk briefly about that. ROS activates its feature, its anti-phishing feature, based on the before navigate event. It then fills in the field with its generated password. So you type your password, ROS activates, changes your password, submits it to the secure institution via the form submission event. That is where the form grabber activates. So ROS expressly does not defend against form grabbing. ROS is vulnerable to form grabbing. ROS identifies itself as an anti-phishing defense, and ROS specifically states that it's not a keylogger defense, because it doesn't work for that. So combining ROS with Watterson doesn't make sense because Watterson specifically is a keylogger defense. And combining the two, changing the timing of activation of Watterson is going to change its operation and, again,
prevent it from not keylogging. Keylogging will now occur. So keystroke keylogging, to be clear, can still occur if we change the activation point of Watterson. And if we look at the activation point of Ross, Ross doesn't defend against form grabbing. So neither Ross nor Watterson protect against form grabbing, nor can their combination protect against form grabbing. And that's irrelevant to when it's triggered, if it's not triggered at the appropriate time. Counsel brought up the complete mediation doctrine. I don't want to spend a whole ton of time on this, but if counsel's arguments on complete mediation from below were to be given credence, essentially no computer security software patent would ever be issued again. The whole concept of complete mediation is so broad and sweeping that if it's considered to be prior art, it's going to annihilate an entire category of potential intellectual property. Counsel said that counsel invited your honors to look at the statements of their expert. And I join in that invitation. I think if you look at their statements of their expert, you will see that all of the relevant cited portions of their expert statements that they identify cite back either to IBM, cite back to nothing but argument and an attack on Trusted Knight's expert. There's no actual, fundamentally and critically, there's no express teaching that he points to or explains for a reason to combine Watterson and Ross in order to obviate against form-grabbing keylogging. And then, unless your honors have any other questions, I have nothing further.
I thank both counsel for their arguments. This case is taken under submission.